Isn't God good? Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah. Thank God we can speak to a mountain. Command them to be cast in the sea. Glory be to God. Appreciate it, brother. All right, kids' church, youth group, bye. With a big round of applause, y'all are gone. All the kiddos in the youth group, you'll have a blast, I promise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many brought a Bible? Let me see your Bible. You see that word? Thank you, Jesus. Got several Bibles. Amen. Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you that we have the word so that when there is a mountain like Joe talked about, all we got to do is trust you. We do have the authority to speak to the mountain. And it doesn't have to cause us to do anything other than, as Joe sang, trust you. So for the word this morning, sir, I thank you, Lord, that we will receive it by faith and it will change every single heart at the sound of my voice for the better. Because your word, sir, says that it's truth. It is truth and it makes us free. And we need to be free in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 3 in the very first verse says, "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." After studying, most of us know that that's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went to the temple, right? Because they're going to pray. They had a specific thing that they were going to accomplish. Pray in the Spirit. They had been going through a lot of tribulation times, even though they were there with the Lord Jesus for those few years of ministry, seeing the miracles. How many of you know that you got to be a doer of the word and not just hearing it? Say amen louder than that. That you've got to do this stuff. If you want results in God's kingdom, then you've got to do what the word says and apply it to your life. Because we can hear it all day, but until we begin to do the word of God, until we begin to walk in God's agape kind of love, until we live by what we've been talking about for a few weeks now, when we live by faith, and I'm talking about the faith that Hebrews talks about, believing in something that you can't see. And what happens when you start living by faith, the only way to truly live by faith, and remember, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In cowboy terms, remember, faith is believing in a God that we cannot see. We see His results. And we've said that many times, and I try to bring that home as much as I can, because we see God's creation. But in order to believe and have faith in a God that we cannot see, it's going to have to be some trust. You're going to have to walk in this way of living as a Christian. It's not going to be because it's scientifically proved that Jesus walked. Now, thank God that there is, record of Jesus calling out blind Bartimaeus and calling out Lazarus and calling out the woman with the issue of blood and them being healed. But again, it's going to take you doing the opposite of faith or of fear and live by faith. And you're going to have to live this way from now on, y'all. Do you understand? Faith is something, it's a lifestyle of a believer. We have to live by faith. We've got to believe in God, even though He's in heaven and we cannot see Him because we are not in heaven. Now, we're going to be honoring my spiritual mother and Jamie's spiritual mother and some of y'all's at the conference in San Antonio, the minister's conference that we're having, because a couple of days ago at 7:25, Ann Smith went to heaven. And Ann had been in this church. Matter of fact, Glenn, before he left, he preached in this church quite a few times, several years when we got started. He was the one that helped me start this church. So Ann, even though she's in heaven, still is operating by faith. Because just because we get to heaven, and this is why I'm preaching this, just because we get to heaven, faith does not stop. We continue to live by faith. Now, thank God we're going to get to experience and see the Creator. Glory be to God. But things aren't going to change. When we come back here for the 1,000-year reign that most preachers don't even preach about, just for anybody new, when there's a 7-year tribulation and God calls us out of here, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, right? We explained about being dead in Christ because it's not talking about your spirit. Your spirit was born again. And when it's absent from that body, like Ann Smith, she's present with the Lord because the spirit is what gets born again. But the spirit lives in this body called flesh. And it's dead in the ground in a corruptible body because of sin. Okay? So when it says that when the trumpet sounds as the archangel and Jesus appears and the dead in Christ is raised first, what it's talking about is the bodies that are corruptible are going to get an incorruptible body. And Jesus is going to call that up in the air. And an incorruptible body cannot die, see. But a corruptible body, because of sin living on this earth, it can die. And it gets sick, etc. But then after that, it says that then us, the elect, will be called up to meet Jesus in the air. The ones that are still living, serving the Lord, born again people. Okay? We're gone then for 7 years, right? But after the 7-year tribulation and all the things you should find out about, then we come back here for a 1,000-year reign. And guess how we're going to live? Without sin, still by faith. In other words, faith does not end. A lot of people then have this mentality that, well, thank God I'll get to heaven so I can get some peace. I can finally get healed in this corruptible body when I get to heaven, praise God. And that's true. But don't you think you might need it here? Don't you think that you need a healed body now instead of waiting for heaven? The only way to have that then is to live by faith. So here in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to pray in the temple in the afternoon when a certain man who was lame, he was crippled from his mother's womb, was carried. I think that's interesting. Wow, what a heart for someone, maybe it was a family member or a friend, that would carry this person and lay him by this gate called Beautiful. Every day. Man, what a testimony of this man. But we could learn a few things right here. Because you can either have the mentality that you're going to help the crippled person, and let him do whatever he wanted to do. You just was going to serve him and help him the best you can until he gets to heaven, where he can finally get a incorruptible body where it's walking correctly and operating the way God created it from the beginning. You may be one of those that have that heart to just want to serve people. Praise God for that, because we need a lot more of that. Or you could also be the person that operates by faith when this man is crippled and is in that state for a long period of time. Why wouldn't you be the one by faith to begin to lay hands on him and call his body whole and healed in Jesus' name? Because that's actually what Peter and John did. You see, I think sometimes we forget that you and I, all of us, not just the preacher, not just Billy Graham, not just Kenneth Copeland, not just so-and-so that you respect in the ministry, all of us can use the name that's above every name, Jesus. And all of us by faith can believe God for the manifestations of healing in our bodies. And it doesn't take just bringing the person down to the front of a church where you get oil out and you anoint them and begin to pray for them, etc. No. You might need to do it at the grocery store when someone's sick laying on the ground begging for money. Because see, that's exactly what this man was doing, is he was begging for what is called alms. Just needed some help, see. But I find it interesting though, because God really got a hold of me. Here's a guy carrying him, placing the man there every day. And I'm thinking, man, Jesus was there. Jesus had already performed all kinds of miracles. And it was a testament of the two men that then walked by him, Peter and John. But don't you think again that it would have been better if the person that carried him would have really had faith to lay hands on the sick and see him recover? That's Mark chapter 16, by the way. You see, this Bible's a neat book if you just believe it. And you just receive it as truth that makes us free. Okay? But let's go on, because we've all heard this story and how, so go past verse 2 and go to verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Peter said, "Silver," remember, "and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee, it says in the King James. In the name, and then he says this, oh Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Glory be to God. There's some great, great things that we can learn in all of these passages. Because everything that Peter and John are doing is what all of us should be doing today. Walking in the kingdom of the power of Jesus. Now, Jesus, hopefully, is the Lord of your life, right? Hopefully, when you stand before God, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hopefully, every single person at the sound of my voice, watching or here, has confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you have, you have the power to use the name that's above every name. You have the power to lay hands on the sick. Now, you're not being Jesus, but you're the instrument of Jesus. You're the one that God needs to lay hands on a sick person and see them get up and walk. Because that's exactly what Peter and John were doing. They wasn't doing it in their own name. They was doing it, remember, they confessed it, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up, walk. Amen. All of us, by faith then, since that's really been the theme, all of us then need to learn that we should be doing what Peter and John did. Because we come across a whole lot of people hurting today. This virus, this pandemic they call it, has put fear in so many people because of us being in the last days. The devil is trying to get us onto fear so that we will not live by faith. And had these two men here, Peter and John, if they were in fear, they would have not declared what they declared to this man. They had to then do it by faith. And I'm telling you, if we'll walk in that way, we'll walk in the power of God, you're going to start seeing people healed all around you. But man, we got to get our faith up. Man, we was raising some churches growing up that, man, sometimes they would tell you, God just doesn't heal all. It's got to be according to His will. You ever heard that? And I never understood that, being just a, you know, cowboy trying to believe this word. Why would He just heal some? Why wouldn't He heal all? Well, all you got to do is read the Bible and you'll start finding scriptures that talk about all things are possible to him that believes. Here, Peter and John, they believe. Can you say amen to that? I mean, they believe. So look what happens. When they confess that they don't have any silver or gold, but they did have something that you'll be interested in, son. When he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and remember, it's got to be crucial right there. Everybody get that into your mind. Everything has to be done in Jesus' name. It cannot be done in your own name, under your own power, under your own strength, under your own knowledge. Doesn't matter how smart someone is. Everything has to be done in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Okay? So we all understand that. Verse 7 then says, and he took him by the right hand. He lifted him up. I like this word. Say it with me if you're reading it. And he immediately, say it louder. Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. I'll never forget when I prayed for that woman. And they wheeled her up at a camp meeting. And I'd been just preaching faith. I was preaching what the Bible talks about. Because we were raised up in religion where we didn't ever hear any good news. No, we would get put on this list, a prayer list, that had like 500 names on it. And they all stayed on the list. Anybody raised like me? I never understood that. Does anybody ever get off of the list? I mean, because they're there a lot for lots of things. And here they roll this lady up because I just happened to tell all the people that, hey, if you got problems with your body, God can heal you if you would just believe. So here comes the people, and she gets there and she's in a wheelchair and her legs are small. And I just looked at her just like Peter and John. I said, you want to walk? She said, yes, I do. I'll never forget that. Yes, I do. I mean, she had the faith, man. I said, you want to walk? Yes, I do. I said, well then, and before, y'all remember, before I said, get up and walk in Jesus' name, the Lord had me speak to the mountain that you were singing about. And the mountain was her legs not working correctly. So I just, remember when it says speak to the mountain and command the mountain to be cast in the sea, don't doubt in your heart, believe the things that you say, is going to come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. So the Lord just said, tap those legs and command them. Okay, look. This all has to be done by faith. Because we can't believe in the leg getting strong and the bones, you know, getting strength and the muscles, etc. We can't believe it after we've already seen it happen. We've got to, by faith, believe it before it happens. So that's why the Bible says to speak to the mountain. So when the Lord said, just tap her legs and command them. There's something about commanding, y'all. But most people, because of sin, don't feel like they're worthy to command. And how wrong you are. Because if you're a woman or you're a man of God, then you have the right, because of your citizenship of Jesus Christ, to use His name. And at His name, every demon has to flee. At His name, you remember when the Bible says that every tongue's going to confess and bow down that He's Lord and so on? There's something about using His name, because you're His son, you're His daughter. And so just using that name is very important. But you can't use the name if you don't know the authority that you have in Him. So that's why it says, when you speak to the mountain, command. Amen. I mean, it's kind of like a kid. Just a little bit of parenting class in here. Because it seems like parenting has kind of gone away, and we're letting others parent our children. And we're letting them decide what they need to be. No, they're going to be born again people if they're my kid. Matter of fact, and I'll tell you something else. If they were born a boy, they're still a boy. And they're not... Anyway, I better not go there. A little parenting class. When I tell Seth to go out and feed the horses, I'm not asking him to do it. I could, though. I said, hey, you think you would be able to get out of bed? It's 11 o'clock. Would you mind possibly maybe getting some clothes on and just calmly walk outside and feed the horses that should have been fed at 7 or 8? Would you mind to do that? Now, if you do it with that tone, he could go, Dad, I'm a little bit tired this morning. Well, of course, my boy knows me. But when I say, Seth, I need you to get up and go feed the horses. With the command that I have as a father, guess what Seth says? Yes, sir. Okay. It's the same thing in the kingdom. When you command that mountain, just like I did to this woman, I touched her legs and I just said, I command the mountain of no muscle and whatever paralyzed her legs, I just said, legs, wake up in Jesus' name. Now, being raised a little Southern Baptist boy, I'd never seen anything like that growing up. Okay? So remember, all the Baptists and the Methodists and all the people had never seen stuff like this before. Because they just didn't believe it, maybe, or they just hadn't ever experienced it, or they didn't have a preacher that has a backbone to believe the word. We're seeing a lot of things in today's world. We're seeing the goats separated from the sheep right now. I'm seeing churches shut down like you've never seen, y'all, over fear. So there's a little separation going on. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm just saying God's got to get the right people in line that will confess His kingdom on this earth. And so when I just tapped her leg, I said, leg, you wake up in Jesus' name. And then I tapped the other leg. You wake up in Jesus' name. And then I'll never forget, I backed up and I looked at her. She was probably in her 50s, in that area, 60s. And I looked and I said, do you want to walk? And all those people, remember in the back, they're on their chairs standing by this time. Like big wide eyes, like, oh, I've never seen this before. Well, wait a minute. Haven't you read it in your Bible? Haven't you read this stuff in your Bible? And in this man that's at the gate called Beautiful, begging, is he the only one that was worthy at this time to be healed by the power of God? Does God not love us enough where we could receive healing? I mean, remember, Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't in the physical form. No, he was doing it through two men that used the name that's above every name. Okay? So I backed up and I said, do you want to walk? And the same faith came out of her mouth. Yes, I do. Well, okay. Then get up and walk in Jesus' name. And y'all know the rest of the story, because praise God, she got up and started walking. Amen. Now listen to me though. Here is something very important that one has to do when you take authority by faith in the kingdom of God. You're either going to let a pandemic destroy you and cause you to remain in fear, or you're going to say to the mountain of a pandemic, get thee behind me. I prayed it this morning in the shower. I said, Father, I thank you, Lord. Because you know, when you get home at 2 a.m. from a junior rodeo in Hamilton, and we're give out and tired, and I did it 2 nights in a row, where I got in at 2 a.m, then, you know, your body wakes up early because that's just, it's programmed. Even though I wanted to sleep. And I did it again last night. We got home. Jamie got home right about the same time of going to watch our daughter run barrels in Glen Rose, Texas. And so I get up this morning and the body is moving a tad bit slower than normal. And while I was in the shower trying to wake up, I just said, since I kind of felt in my body that it was tired, and I wondered if my voice was going to be high enough to sing this morning, and you know, just being give out, and you know, that's when most people get sick, is when your body is tired, etc. So I just declared in the shower Psalms 91 again, and I said, sir, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under your shadow. And the Word of God says that no disease, no virus shall come near my body. So I thank you, Lord, that that's how I live. And I'm just going to have the energy today to preach the Word of God. And I'm not going to be tired. I thank you, Lord, for supernatural strength to come to this body in Jesus' name. Why are we talking like this? Because usually we agree with how we feel. But ladies and gentlemen, to live by faith, we cannot be moved by the five physical senses. We cannot be moved by how we feel this morning. There's a time that you got to speak to the mountain, the body, and you tell it to obey, because the Spirit of God lives in it and you don't have time to be sick. Really? But what I was doing is I was praising the Lord. Look at this next scripture, and I'll start closing right here. Look at this next scripture. When verse 6 comes to pass, and the feet and the ankle bones receive strength, verse 8 says, let's do 8. And he leaped up, stood. Right there people should shout right there. Really. I mean, just someone receiving their healing. When he leaped up, look what happened, and walked and entered with them into the temple. Remember, where were they going? And what were they going to do? Pray. This guy must have been just laying out there watching all the other people go in to receive from the Spirit of God. I mean, this guy just was watching everybody go in into the anointing of the Lord, the Holy of Holies or whatever. He was having to stay on the outside when everybody else was experiencing the kingdom things of the Lord. But with the faith of two people that just got his faith up and says, I don't have any silver or gold, but let me tell you something I do have. I got the power. I got a Jesus that by his stripes you're healed. And look what happens real fast. He walked, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and what? Praising the Lord. Glory be to God. I mean, that's what we need to start doing a little bit more, y'all. Right in the midst of a trial and tribulation, we are to start praising God. Now, led by the Spirit, I have to say this one thing, that you've got to start changing how you think in the kingdom. Stop thinking that you have to go through a trial and tribulation to get better. That is not how I teach or preach. We don't have to go through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to trust the Lord. We already have their example through the Word of God. All we have to do now is live by faith. We don't have to go. Matter of fact, I tell this, and I've told it for 18 years of this church and 20 plus years of ministry of all the other churches that we started. As me and my wife do not go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we go through them. We don't build a tent. We don't stay in the thing forever. No, no, no. I recognize because of maybe maturity. But that's all of us. We don't have time for the milk anymore. We've got to get the meat of the Word of God and grow up. We've got to grow up because there's a devil who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy out there in that world. He's trying to bring fear on you. He's trying to he's trying to get us segregated, and we're not able to be around people anymore in some states. And you got to take the vaccine, and you got to show the proof. Yo, mama. No, no, no. Why don't we just do what Peter and John said? I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, I give I thee. Let me read it in the Amplified so it's easier to understand. Peter and they said, I don't have any silver or gold or money. I do not have. I don't have it. But what I do have, that is what I'm going to give you the use of. And then he explains it. What I do have, oh Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's what I have. Walk. What I do have is Jesus. 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 There's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Oh, say it. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Now listen to this part. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. That name. Man, that ought to deserve some praise, y'all. There's hope. But we may be living in this world, but we don't have to live of it. You don't have to be in fear of this virus. No, no, no. I told those guys that were trying to get me to take that vaccine. I said, no, no, no. One thing I will not do is take anything in fear. If it's by faith and you have peace about it, you do it. But not because of fear. And I haven't seen very many people do it by faith. It's all been by fear. I just don't want to die. That's a kind of a good thing, I guess. But how many of you know it might not just be a virus when you're in fear? It could be anything. The point is live by faith. Amen? So get our faith up. Let's get our faith up. And let's start living in His kingdom without fear, only by faith. Because that's what caused the man to get healed. Do you need healing in your body? You going through something? You struggling in an area? Are you upset, moved about something? I want to give you an encouraging word this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. That's Jesus saying it. Believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. I grew up in a trailer growing up, y'all. I'm not going to be in the trailer park no more. Now, nothing wrong with the trailer. So I'll have people I cannot believe. I love my trailer. Okay. But a mansion's a lot better. You don't have to clean it. There's no dirt. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For the name that's above every name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good. Are y'all saved? Is everybody born again? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you stood before God, what would He say? Would He say heaven? Or would He say, depart from me? And that's hell. I don't want you to go to there, go to that place. But is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you confessed Him? If you hadn't, it's time. I'm not saying you gotta be perfect. I'm just saying it's time to receive the King, the Son of God. Is He your Lord? If you left this earth, if He's your Lord, you'll go to a place called heaven. Ooh, thank you, Lord. But you have to choose it. So this morning, we're going to pray a prayer, all of us. And we're going to invite Jesus into our heart. If you're saved, you're not doing it again. You're just learning the prayer. You're praying it with someone beside you or behind you, in front of you. We'll just pray it with Him. But if you're here this morning and you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell, you hadn't thought about it much, there's only one way according to John chapter 14. There's one way to get to heaven, to get to the Father, and it's by Jesus. Not being a good person. No, Jesus. Is He the Lord of your life or is He not? If He's not, please receive Him by praying this prayer. All we're going to do is confess Jesus. And all the people in here that are born again, we're going to pray it with you, possibly. Y'all that are watching, it's time you receive Jesus. It's time we live by faith. Get back to church if you're still hunkered down. There's no need to be in fear any longer. Come on back and get in the midst of the power of God, because He's here in the midst of us. But if you're here or watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to have an awesome life here on this earth with hope. And it's only found in Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you want to right now, pray this prayer with all of us. And we're going to do it out loud. You know what we're going to pray? Romans 10:9. We're going to confess Jesus with our mouth that He's Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So that's what we're going to do. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, I want you to do it right now. And I don't want you waiting. So just pray it with us. When you pray it out loud, though, mean it. And if you do, you'll bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. Amen? So let's pray it all together. Out of our mouths, say, Father in heaven, open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe that you've been raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you that this day is a God day for me because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I confess it. I'm not ashamed of it. In Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front, but I am going to ask you right where you're sitting to be bold enough, when I count to three, to raise your hand up and say, that was me. I just prayed that prayer, and I'm saved now. I meant that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus today. If that's you, do not be ashamed, please. Man, we'll just rejoice with you, and I'm not going to embarrass you. But it's going to take some effort for you to confess Jesus before a man. Jesus said, if you'll do it, I'll confess you before the Father. So don't be ashamed. If you just gave your life to Jesus, you prayed that prayer, get your hand up at the count of three, and then just put it right back down. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate you too. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? You didn't raise your hand, but you want to. It's a little scared. All right, look at me. Thank God for two. Amen. All right, real fast. Hope y'all had a good time, man. Just continue to live by faith. If you've been praying, this won't take very long, but if you've been praying that this is supposed to be your home and you've never joined our church, but you want to, you believe it's the will of God, you've prayed about it. I know people that come the first time and know that this is where they're supposed to plant. I didn't say we're going to do everything perfect. Please forgive us. We're not going to mean to do anything wrong, but we're just going to be here to preach this word. Amen. If God is just really giving you the peace that you're supposed to join this church and you never have, I don't care if you've been here for months, I want you to come down here right quick, and I just want to pray over you right now. Come on. Amen. Glory to God. All righty then. Glory be to God. I should have done this last week. Listen to me real fast. Amen. Come on down. Praise God. I like it when they go get their kiddos. But number one, it's an honor. It's an honor that y'all would want to join and plant in this church. Because you don't have to. Now, I'm not real big on, you know, growing up, joining a church. In our churches, when you came and joined it, the pastor would go, all in favor of receiving this this man and his family in this church, signify by saying amen. All oppose. And I don't know what they'd say. I mean, no one ever opposed, but I was like, what if they don't want me here? But I think you should always make a covenant and join and be a part of this body officially. And to do that, it's a covenant. Covenant obviously is a promise, right? That's how God created the covenants. Covenant of marriage is a promise, man. So the covenant that I make with you and that you make with me is, on our side, we have a covenant that we're going to preach this word. And we're going to counsel you. And we're going to give you, anything you need spiritually or physically, if we can do it. We've helped a lot of people with bills sometimes. It's just the way we are. I figured if I teach it that way, we need to live that way. And it's a covenant that we're here for you guys. The covenant I want you to make with us is, number one, come to church. And that's always a good thing when you just come. But also, let God open the doors of ministry if possible. You don't have to be a minister, but in any church that's growing like this one, you always need help in some areas. And I've never understood when people say, I really don't want to do the kids' church because I don't like kids. Well, then we need to work on some love walk, amen? Because in the kingdom, it's about everyone, and kids need to be trained up. Or it might just be greeting, or just, helping in some areas. That's the covenant, though, because we're going to be a family. Where you're planted, you grow. Amen? So, number one, it's an honor. Ministers, would y'all just come and get behind these people? And we're just going to pray. If you're a minister at this church in any way, I want you just to spread out here. And since there's so many, glory be to God. I love it. It would be an honor to just lay hands on all of you, but I'm going to do it by faith. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for every single person that's joining this church. I appreciate what you're doing here. And I know that this might not be like a church we was raised up in where, man, there's a fiddle in the band and, man, it's different. And there's a cowboy that just preaches and maybe doesn't use great English. But it doesn't matter because you know what we need. So, Father, thank you that people want to be a part of this church. And we just add our agreement with them that they come to this church and they plant. And Father, it is a pleasure as we continue to preach the Word of God that they receive and they just have open hearts and minds to receive this Word only and nothing else. And Father, we thank you for that. God bless them, sir. And it is an honor to call them a member of Williamson County Cowboy Church. We love you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right, you're not allowed to leave yet. We're going to, if you don't mind, I want y'all spread all the way out on both sides, and I want y'all to turn to this congregation because they're going to come and say hello to you because we're going to meet you, okay? We don't know it, so just scoot down if y'all can. Now listen. Listen, congregation. We're going to start on this side. We're going to give them a high five. We're not going to tell them stories. Okay? We're just going to say, hey, glad to have you. Glad to have you. It's an honor to have you. And then later on, I want you to get to know them. Okay? The most important thing about a church is making people feel like they're our family. Because we're in the kingdom of God together. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's an honor to have every one of you. The two of y'all that gave your life to Jesus, if you live around here, this is a great church to plug into. If you don't, you need to find a good Bible-believing church and get planted in. Y'all that are new, it's an honor to have you. Thank you so much for coming. Please come back. If not, I want you to find a good Bible-believing church where you live and it's comfortable to you. I don't know why this one wouldn't be it, though. It's a good church, I'm telling you. We love you. Father, y'all stand up real fast. We'll be dismissed. By the way, I want you to remember that the rodeo is kicking off. It's going to be in May, but right now we're already having big meetings about the rodeo, Liberty Hills Fair and Rodeo. This is the largest event in this town. They come out of the woodworks to come for a rodeo. But what I've done is I've separated the rodeo and the steer roping. It got so big that I couldn't function. I couldn't sleep. So the roping now, the steer roping that is professional steer roping, PRCA, is going to be on the second weekend. I believe it's the 14th and 15th of May. And then the next weekend, so we're going to be serving and having two weekends of rodeo. The next weekend, which is the 19th, 20th, and 21st, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're going to have the PRCA rodeo. I've always had an open rodeo for several years now. This is going to be the first year that is going pro, PRCA. And that opens up lots of doors, y'all, but it also costs a whole lot more money. So the way we have this rodeo is we have sponsorship. And I'm talking, they call us now for sponsorship, but If you want to be a sponsor of a banner or a certain event or a buckle or whatever it is, that's what gets these cowboys here. We add 20,000 in the steer open and we add 18,000 in the rodeo. So it's upped. It's not a problem though, because our city helps us and our town, but it's going to take all of us then to work that rodeo too. Just the mutton busting takes a whole lot of us. There's hundreds that mutton bust. Hundreds. Every night. It's amazing. So I've even had people say, well, my kid's one. Can he mutton bust? I said he can, but I ain't letting him go. He ain't going to hit the ground. They're too young, but you'll be amazed at moms and dads. So anyway, I want you to pray about that. Heidi is in the back. All of our team, that Rick Hager is here. Who else? Mike McCloskey. John Clark doesn't come to this church, but he's in on the committee. Those are the sponsor people, and that's who we're pumping right now. And so go to them, and let's get behind this rodeo. Amen. I know we got 4 months, but it's going to hit us fast. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for these people that are coming to join this church, for the two that gave their lives to you, for the visitors that came just to check out what the heck is a cowboy church. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing them. I thank you, Lord, for just the anointing that was here to just preach this word and receive it. I mean, it doesn't have to be hard to serve you, sir, but we got to get taught how to live by faith. So, Father, thank you. As we leave here, your word says you never leave us or forsake us. So you get to go with us right now. It's an honor to have these new people join our church, and we're just going to meet them and bless them and thank them. And we give you praise until we come back Tuesday for Bible study or next Sunday. It's an honor, sir, to serve you. It's an honor to be called your son or your daughter. We love you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. All right, y'all come and say hello to these folks.